This is Unleashing Leadership, and I'm your host, Travis Moss, and we are with our Season 5 special guest, Dave Nurci, as we get after some lessons learned from the book, The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. And today's episode is going to be brought to you by Seed Planning Group. That's our day job, Dave and I. Completely not affiliated to the show at all. It just happens to be how we know each other. Seed Planning Group, fee-only fiduciaries, a wealth management firm that helps people overcome the challenges that are keeping them from personal fulfillment. We tied in our nice little just cause there from our work with The Infinite Game with Simon Sinek. That was Season 4, just before this one. As we're kind of transitioning the company into the next iteration or the next phase of its growth. So you can get more on Seed Planning Group by going to www.seedpg.com. So that's S-E-E-D-P-G.com. All right, Dave, we are into really a good follow-up. We actually added this one extra, this topic in there extra, the follow-up from Trust. More trust needs less communication, which was our last episode. And now we're going to go into people without all information will always argue to preserve the status quo. And this is one of my favorite parts of the book. And it's also, I would suggest, as part of that euphoria and terror thing, this is yep. Like, or the wartime CEO, which we'll talk about later in this book. It's the point in the book where you kind of cringe and go, oh yeah, he said that, you know, and you could probably easily imagine yourself saying it in a situation like that. And then thinking, could have done that a little bit softer. Yep. Right. And it's the fuck you moment where somebody walks in your office and tells you how to solve the problem that they don't understand. And you go, fuck you, get out of my office.
Yeah.
And then you go, shouldn't have done that. Right. And you're like, should have done it because they need to know they don't have the information. Shouldn't have done it because, well, it's a little harsh. Right. But that's what he's talking about. He's talking about that there's, in fact, a lot of people in your organization or even outside of your organization. It could be board members, it could be people in your organization, it could be customers, it could be community members, it could be your family members. They're going to come to you and say, this is what you need to do. And when you're scaling your business, right, when your life is becoming more complicated, when your business is becoming more complicated, when your division or department is becoming more complicated, when your job is becoming more complicated, it's not just about being, you know, the big boss. It's about you're in a situation where there's a lot of things to take into consideration, not just where you are today, but where you're hoping to be tomorrow. And understanding all the points where all the information is coming in. As we talked about with team of teams. So as organizations scale, they're going to have more teams. So let's say that you have four divisions and those are actually four teams and they even have sub teams within them, but there's a lot of people and they're doing a lot of stuff working on a lot of projects and all that stuff is flowing up to the top. And the one guy who knows everything that's going on, well, not everything that's going on, but they understand conceptually where all the pieces are going. They can see the whole puzzle, whereas everybody else can only see their section. You're looking at that information going, okay, I need to take that into account, that into account, that into account. And then somebody comes in your door that doesn't have any of that information. They only have one division or two divisions worth of information. And they start telling you what you need to do to fix the problem. And most of the time, what they're trying to do is fix the problem back to the same current kind of situation, the same stand. So think about this, and this is why the CEO gets so pissed about this stuff, or if you're a parent, you get so pissed about this stuff when your kids come in and bug you about it. So something's broken. It doesn't work anymore. It is fundamentally flawed. You know that the past is the past, the future is coming, and what you were doing is wrong. It doesn't work anymore. It's not going to work. You're going to die on that hill, right? You're going to, you know, fall on your own sword. So you've got to identify the fact that there's a problem. You let your people know there's a problem. And then you have all the experts come and tell you how to address your problem. Meanwhile, you're not trying to fix it. You're not trying to say, hey, this widget that don't work no more, we're going to try to get this one working again. We're going to try to patch the holes. What you're saying is, I need a whole new widget. Yep. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to build this entire new system because where we're going, I maybe can can put enough band-aids and duct tape on this to get it through the next year or two. But at the end of that time period, it's going to be completely obliterated. It's going to go from bad to worse and possibly even critical. So I'm going to get ahead of that by taking the runway that I have right now and looking at where I think we're going to be going in the future, understanding what everybody else is building on, what our strengths and our weaknesses are, and I'm going to try to reposition us. And that's what he's getting at. He's getting at there are times where even though you think you're trying to help, you have no idea what the real problem is. Even if I were to articulate to you, here's conceptually the problem, all the details and the other information behind the scenes with all the other teams working on it, if you're not in the middle of that information, you're just not going to understand. And so the things that you might be fighting for, again, it's you're picking the wrong hill to fight to die on.
Right. So the challenge there is what amount of information is appropriate to kind of get everybody aligned, right? Like enough where here comes the balance again, right? Like we talked about in some of the previous episodes of the trust and the communication, like where, you know, blindly following or following, you know, with intention and understanding. Yeah. So that's the big challenge is what is appropriate to share or have like each division understand so they can work towards that bigger, you know, that monumental change that may be happening that's going to, you know, be a game changer for the way we do things at our company. And creating that balance of, okay, I feel good about that and I can work towards it, but also not having to debrief every single employee on what's happening, right? Because there's no time for that.
Well, and there's an expertise issue, right? Mm-hmm. Like there are things that further up you go, probably the more broader your skill sets are. And there could be technical things that are just well beyond you or things beyond your pay grade that, right, you know, are critical out of how certain things run, but it wouldn't make a difference if you knew them or not. You have no contextual knowledge. But here's what good leadership does. Good leadership goes to the people when they have a problem and says, Dave, can you help me on this? And this is what I need to help you on. They define the scope of the work. Okay. And so back to our last episode about trust. If you trust in your leadership, then you trust that they will actually come to you and say, hey, I need you on this team. I need you to help me solve this problem. And good leadership will do that. And that's part of what Ben says about being transparent and saying, hey, there's a problem. And being able to admit when you're scared and you got to work on something is here's a problem and this is what we need to do. And part of what we need to do is who needs to do it, right? Is this a all hands on deck or is this a management team issue? Or do we already have it 90% done by the time you found out about it, but we just got to get it over the finish line. So I don't need you doing anything. So that's what good leadership does. Mm-hmm. If you're following and you're trying to be a good follower and you have an issue that you think, okay, they probably need to know about this issue and you're not sure if they know it, the best way to do that is to ask, do you know about this issue? And if leadership wants to know more, leadership will say, tell me more. And if they don't want to know more, they will say, we're good. Thank you. And the reason why is because if you're on a thing that's critical, let's say in Ben's book, he talks about, you know, literally be on the razor's edge, like in 2 weeks or in a month. So you want to call and you want to sit down with me and you want me to explain the entire business with you. And you want to tell me about an idea that doesn't even have all the information incorporated into it instead of trying to figure out the solution to save us over the next 2 to 4 weeks. So you have to have trust in your leadership and you have to understand that they're in the leadership position they are because they have something that you don't. Now, whether or not you think that's unfair, whether or not you think that your leader's any good. I mean, if you're in an organization, and you think the leader's stupid, leave.
Right.
Like you have no business being there if you don't believe in the leadership. And frankly, if it's an organization with bad leadership and people leave, that's the solution to fixing the bad leadership.
Right.
Staying doesn't fix the bad leadership, it perpetuates it. So you vote with your feet. You're like, bad leadership, I'm leaving. See you later. Good leadership, I'm staying to fix the problem. But if you trust, then you can go and say, hey, do you need help on this? I'm pretty good at that. And I've looked at some of the data and I had some points. And if it's something that they feel can help them, they will say yes. Or if it's something they don't feel can help them, they will say no. Or if they're willing to listen, but it needs to be, look, you need to give me the 5-minute version, not the 3-day version.
Mm-hmm.
right? And I think that that's because he talks about, you know, somebody, these two guys coming in and giving him like, you know, a 500-page PowerPoint presentation about this solution. They had nothing to do with anything that was happening.
Yep.
And it was already decided that that was the wrong way to go, but they don't understand. They don't see where the map is going. They only see where they are right now, and they only see where they were yesterday. Yep. And so they're trying in good faith to help, but that's where the trust comes in. You have to trust that we're not idiots at the top.
Right.
Even if we make mistakes, we may sometimes make a mistake and you'll say, I knew that. Okay, fine. But guess what? You're not in that position. It's not on your head. You know, it's on their head. And, you know, that's we're just asking. If the leader wants your help, they'll ask. And if you want to help the leader, you can ask. But then respect the decision from both parties.
Yep. And as a leader, create the environment that people understand that just maintaining status quo is going to eventually bite you in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, status quo is, this is how it was yesterday, this is how it should be today, this is how it's going to be tomorrow. And we like to think about that as an employee. In the employee position, you like to think because it gives you consistent expectations of what tomorrow is going to bring. Like, if I keep doing the same thing over and over again, I move up, I make more money, or nobody bothers me, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you're in a business that's growing, and even not with the advancements in artificial intelligence and all these other things that are changing, like the status quo is change. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to protect the process from yesterday without addressing the process that needs to be adjusted to really get into what the problem is, like if you're in charge of a process and in that process, there's a whole bunch of problems. If you were that aware, you would have fixed the process.
Right.
But the issue is that you weren't aware. So when you come in, when somebody comes and says, hey, we need a new process because of where business is going, and you come in and say, well, there's nothing wrong with the old one, let's just fix it. Well, the argument is there, you don't actually know what needs to be done. So you need to realize that and you need to let people help. You know what I mean? You need to let the people who can engineer this better engineer it. So, right. So anyway, I think we killed this one. Anything, any last words on this one?
I think we killed it.
All right, it's dead. See you later. Make sure you got all the people... are almost never going to have all the information. Make sure you don't pick the wrong hill to die on, right? Just trying to protect the status quo, basically, is the quote and the message from this.